Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's the Everton Fan Focus pre-season special podcast. Tonight, me and Mark are joined by Sean, we're joined by Jed, and we're also joined by Cedo. A lot has happened in the past few months at Everton FC, on and off the field, and we're just a matter of days before the opening game of the 2017-18 Premier League season. So lads, a lot has happened. We've finished our pre-season campaign in terms of games. How are we all feeling? I'll come to you first, Mark. Largely positive?
Yeah, of course, yeah. We'd all like to think the last couple of performances we were looking for a bit more from the team, but given that we're unbeaten in all them games and we played some decent opposition, I think in Ghent and certainly in Sevilla, to come out of it, we've shown some decent qualities in them games, and I'm excited about the system of play that we're going to have, and the way the way the players are. It's not come together at the moment, but certainly the signs are there that we can build on something good.
It's been definitely like a trial, has it, in terms of new players coming in, Koeman's trial and new formations. We saw that again yesterday against Sevilla, and there's still a lot to probably do on the field and off the field from now till when that transfer window shuts, but I think I've got to say I'm impressed with it. Cedo, yourself, do you think there's still work to be done?
I think there's plenty of work to be done, to be honest. I think the biggest thing for me, from when you compare probably when Martinez obviously left the club, and the first thing Koeman spoke about was the fitness of the players coming back into pre-season, and I think they've worked wonders with them this time round. I think that the physicality of them, the sort of, you know, there was in certain aspects of the pre-season games the intensity wasn't there, but as the game went on, you know, fit deeper into the 90 minutes, they seemed to get amongst it a little bit more, and that's where the fitness started kicking in for me, and particularly against Sevilla. You know, at home, the first probably 15 minutes of the second half we looked a bit lax. After that, I thought we were chasing the ball down, passing it well, and I think it's boding well for the weekend.
Jed, obviously signings wise we're all impressed, but what's your overall thought? Have you paid much attention to the games? Do you think we should pay much attention to the results in the games? Is it all about just getting back amongst it?
Well, I agree with what you just said there about the last two games. I think I can't quite put my finger on it, but I think there seems to be more of a team this year, really. There seems to be people always available on an angle, ready to accept the ball and work hard together between them, like, sort of thing. It's like last week there always seems to be an option for them, really, and I was quite impressed, because that was quite a hard game, you know. It was a proper competitive game where they were going for it as well.
That's what
we discounted, all these friendlies and that, and we judged them on that, but that was a competitive match, and they put the foot in there as well, I thought. So I think there's a confidence about the side as well, really, and there seems to be a calmness with some of the players that they've got. You know, Pickford, I think, has been a major signing, really. The keeper and the centre-half, I think that's just for the future. They're going to be tremendous signings, I think.
Well, we you know, talking about the Rosenbrück, it was kind of, there was a few criticisms directed towards Everton in terms of the play. It wasn't the most exciting two-leg affair, shall we say, but they got the job done, didn't they, Sean? What's your overall thoughts on pre-season and those two games I've just mentioned?
I think pre-season sort of started off with the most positive sort of feeling that it probably ever has in probably my memory as an Evertonian, but I think the last few weeks has probably tempered that a little bit, not to the point where it's become negative, but certainly to the point where perhaps our expectations are being managed a little bit more. So we had the business at the start of the season, which was done with sort of a ruthless efficiency. Everyone was buzzing. Since then, it's sort of gone a little bit quiet. The only deal that we've been involved in is the one that we probably didn't want to see, which was Lukaku leaving the club, yet to be replaced. And obviously, Zomborok games probably again just tempered our expectations a bit. The play was not particularly exciting. It was disjointed, it was slow, but at the same time, it is still pre-season. You're never going to play fantastically well pre-season. Hopefully a couple more signings are still close, ideally before the Stoke game, just so we can start the season with that little bit of positivity.
Lift back. The mood a bit.
Exactly,
yeah. Well, just on the signings, a lot has been made about Everton's business this summer, and you've just summed it up, Sean. We hit the ground running, didn't we? Sort of unprecedented times in terms of money spent, actually the status of players coming in. You know, you don't need to name them all, but the most standout ones probably Michael Keane, Jordan Pickford, for the biggest amounts. There are other players that have come in as well, unknown quantities in terms of Premier League, a couple of younger lads as well, and then you've got Martina, the right back, who's an addition to the squad. I'll go round the table again, and who's impressed you most throughout this? In fact, what signing impressed you most, and also who's impressed you most of them signings on the pitch since they've arrived?
I think most Evertonians will say Sandro was the most impressive signing, purely for the fee that we pay for him, and the guy, you know, obviously can do it in a tough league, the Premier League. You know, not playing for a well known club. Do you know what I mean? Malaga was just, I never say the club, he done well for them. But really stand out, there's only one guy, and that's Michael Keane for me. He's been absolutely different class. Really, you know, when you think that you don't see the best of players until maybe October, November, when players start finding their feet, he slipped right in. What a class act. I mean, how great was the deal up for Burnley? You know, when you see how much that he's standing out in our team, it's fantastic. But actually, the two best performers have been the two highest signings in pre-season, if you ask me. You know, Pickford and Keane have been you know, fantastic, but Keane, different class.
The one that stands out for me, I think, is Klassen. And I know he's probably taken quite a lot of stick over the past couple of games in pre-season, but I don't think it's warranted, to be honest. I think, you know, as Sean said before, it's still pre-season, he's still getting used to, you know, the pace of competitive football, and for Everton to go and nab an Ajax captain, I think, what is he, 23, 24 years of age, you know, he's still got a lot of years left in him. For Everton to do that, I think we've got an absolute steal, and I reckon we've got an absolute bargain. I think he's only going to come into his own the more he gets to play the Premiership football, gets used to the pace of the Premiership, and it only stands us in good stead, I think.
And we won't be in the only side interested in him as well, would we? You know, you say, Ajax captain alone, that brings a status in itself, doesn't it? So what about you, Jed? I mean, Jordan Pickford's done well, hasn't he? I mean, most of them have done well. They seem to have settled.
All of the signings you couldn't disagree. They've all been class acts, I think, really. And the thing is, they're all hungry and they're all young, apart from Rooney, but he's been there before, and that's a major sign, and I think it'll just put us all over the globe, really, I think, Rooney. But the one for me will be Pickford, I think, really. I don't think, I've seen a few goalies at Everton over my time, but and we've never had anybody since Neville Southall. I think if you want to win anything, you've got to have a keeper, and they've just made a big statement there. We want him, and I'm surprised other clubs haven't picked him up. The size, the age of him, he could be there for another 10 years. I just think his distribution of the ball, his handling, he just exudes confidence. That's what I was trying to touch on before. More of a team, and it stems from me, from the back, I think, really, from him. And then of course Keane, you've got the spine. Without a spine, you're nothing. Without a goalie, you're nothing. You can have Michael Keane there, but it's the keeper behind, if he's not one we've had last year, you're always going to be nervous watching from the ground and that. But this fella, I just can't wait to see him in action, really. Well, not too much action, reaction like, but just to see him, because he'll run that defence, I think, really, and that will be a major thing. We're not conceding that many goals. They were a class side against Sevilla there, but you know, it's disjointed. We've got players coming in and out, but once we get the team and the structure of the team, and he's leading from the back and Keane in the middle, it can only be onwards and upwards for me, and the rest of them will follow. I agree. Klaassen, I was delighted as an Ajax captain coming to play here. His touch and movement with Rooney, the 1-2s, there's a lot more 1-2s going on in these couple of games. We're not seeing that much because it's only these pre-season games, but that Ruzembere game last week, I remember Everton when they won the UEFA Cup and they were playing an Irish side. Was it home?
UCD game? University College Dublin.
Yeah.
University College.
We were going out there at Goodison. We were going out that game. We could have easily gone out, and then from that, the rest is history. So maybe it's the same sort of inauspicious start, really. It's just a qualifier, and we'll go on now, you know.
Well, I agree about Pickford, and you know, I've been openly critical about Everton's keepers for. I bored everyone with it, to be honest. Since Nigel Martin, I've probably been moaning about it, to be honest. Obviously we all look at Neville Southall, but I agree with what you say. 30 million for Pickford, we got linked with him, he's gone out, he's already shown why you pay that money for him, and he could ultimately play for Everton for 18-20 years because of his age.
So steal.
That, he makes that money back, you know, threefold. I'm excited by that. Everything else, I don't want to repeat what you've just said, but I'm excited. I think Sandro's going to be the man myself. I think he's going to bully defenders, he's going to shoot on sight. That's the type of play we want at Everton FC.
I think you could argue that each of the signings has been impressive for a different reason. Sort of, as you said earlier, sort of discounting Martina as just a squad player. You've got Sandro as sort of the up and coming one who everybody was looking at. It's sort of a bit of a coup that we've managed to get him, and especially at the price.
Cheap as well, that's the thing.
Yeah, we are. So potentially he's a star in the making. I think Pickford and Keane are impressive for their performances. They've been impressive. Pickford's command in the box, he can kick the ball, which is nice to see. You know, Keane looks like he's good in there. He's not making mistakes, which, to be fair, Jagielka and Williams last couple of years, they have been making mistakes. Funes Mori, I mean, he's got 50p shaped feet, so it's a nice change. Klaassen was impressive because, again, it was that ruthless efficiency. Does anyone here was linked to Klaassen? Because I never. All of a sudden, he was just signed.
Came from nothing.
All of a sudden, we'd signed him, and as everyone said, he was the Ajax captain. And all of a sudden, we've just signed him. And then the Rooney one. I don't think Rooney played well in the couple of competitive games we've had. Commercially, that was a great signing. It was the right thing to do, and you can already see how many times over the past month of Everton. Been on back pages, you know, it's taken a lot for us to be on a back page, but we've been there, and that's why that's successful.
Well, when Rooney signed, it was notable on Sky and BBC Sport. Every time he clicked onto it, it was just like Everton this, Everton that, and Rooney was obviously top of the bill on all of them, but then that succession of signings, and then Rooney came amongst that, didn't he? Everton was like the name on everyone's lips, neutral fans, media, pundits, whatnot, and it's I think because it's died off a little bit because of the delay over Sigurdsson, and we sold Lukaku, and it's been a bit of a, in some people's opinions, a bit of a damn squib pre-season, but I think we need to try and not forget how good a summer this has been in comparison to years gone by at Everton, and we've all got to be on board going into this Stoke game, because you can't afford no negativity going into it. No, even if Koeman's still unsure about his formation, even if we're still being linked with players and Everton's not done, we still need to go into it in positive frame of mind, try and get a good result, because we've got a massive month ahead.
I think that's where Rooney will help, never mind just commercially, his link up play. I think his knowledge, experience is going to be, you can't put a price on that, and you'll see that over the coming months of this season, if he retains his fitness and he gets a break when we're winning a game and that, it'll be invaluable. I think that could be the major one. I love Pickford and the rest of them, but for him and his touch and his knowledge of the game, his experience, I think you can't put a price on that, especially playing up front. So if we get other players and they're gonna benefit from Rooney, but also Sandro is going to benefit hugely, I think, from his experience and his touch.
And Thomas Calvert-Lewin as well.
Yeah, all of these. Yeah. Everything in the changing room, these young lads, you see, everything that we've said before, everything, when they see him and changing and coming out and playing with a passion, and the positions he's been in for Manchester United in the past, and in games that he's just brought to life himself with his own ability, then that's the other X factor that we'll have this year, I think.
I think for me, the Rooney situation, I think it's good that, you know, we've got him in, and as Sean said, commercially makes sense for Everton to do that, because that's the side that we need to improve on, is the commercial side of the Everton brand, if you like. But on the pitch, Rooney for me is more effective when he's a lot deeper and playing in that deeper role. I don't think he's got it in him now to play that sort of low man up front, and I think that's probably where Sandro will come in, with Rooney just a little bit deeper, where absolutely. He can start pulling the strings a little bit. And you've probably seen it already yourselves in the pre-season games, where Klassen, Sandro and Rooney, them little one touch intricate passes around the edge of the box, and it reminds me of, like, what, and I don't want to make that comparison, but when you look at David Silva pulling the strings for the likes of Man City in the middle of the park, I see that Rooney in that sort of same mould as just making the play, you know, left, right, pulling defences every which way.
But then, we do need other players going alongside
with
Sandro,
hopefully Sigurdsson and the class, and then you've got the legs around it, Sandro as well. There's a lot of energy up there then all of a sudden, you know, and quality in the right areas. Yeah, Rooney's going to have a big part to play, down no bearing on his pre-season form at all. I think he's going to up his intensity come Saturday.
People focus on his pre-season form, don't they, and say he looks knackered and he's this and that. He's a different role now, and he was a kid, he was a teenage lad running the defences last time we saw him running out in an Everton shirt. He's not now, he's a man, and he's a couple of yards off the pace. He's the same age as me, but it's hard to get up and down. But I agree with what you guys say about his influence around the place, how he dictates the game. I think he'll find his position, and Koeman and Walsh brought him back for a reason, not just to sell shirts, you know what I mean, because that money goes to kit bag, as we all know. But
I'm hoping he has a point to prove as well, he was just left on the bench last year. He kept his mouth shut, and he just got on with it, really, and he's been treated pretty badly, I thought, in the last 12 months for Manchester United. So I think he'll like to ram it down people's throats, really, if he can get on the end of things and score some goals. He'll be massive news again, you can imagine, on Sky Sports if he scores a goal, and that's what we want. Our profile, we need to raise it, and we have raised it as soon as he was signed.
Just on that, what you said, Sky Sports, I mean I can't remember anyone doing this, but when was the last time Everton made a sign and the press conference was live on Sky Sports News?
Never.
I mean, that's all you need to know about the Rooney brand. You know, he's going to take us commercially to the next level.
You know, never saw that ever.
See a couple of you lads replicating his haircut as well. In terms of the rest of the squad, sorry, I'm just moving on.
Sean's more Davy Klassen, if you ask me.
move on. What areas do we need to strengthen? Obviously, we talked about this last week, and I'm largely positive about Everton this summer. But I found myself the other week moaning to a couple of lads about wanting more. These new signings give you the thirst for more. But if you look at the players that have gone out on loan or been sold from Everton, in terms of the sheet, in terms of the squad sheet, numbers, we do need more players. But the thing is now, I'm saying this the other day, when Everton make a signing, it's a status signing. It's a signing for the first team. It's a signing to start, almost, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're harder to get, aren't they? Rather than filling the squad with McGeady's and Cleverley's and players like that. Or, you know, disrespect to them. But I'm not really asked, to be honest. So, a lot of Evertonians think, right, this needs to go on. Sigurdsson's one. I'll go round the table. Is he worth the money?
I think he is in today's money. You know, when the way I think of it now is, you look at last season, say £15 million player, they're now £35-40 million pound player because of just the inflation and the transfer prices. So don't get me wrong, it's a hell of a lot of money, £50 million, if that's true of what we're going to pay, 45 plus add-ons. But
are you going to lose any sleep if we pay it, though?
Absolutely not. No, it's not my money. So
exactly, stats. Well, I hate stats, but they do shape up better than pretty much anyone else's. And if you go by Swansea fans' reaction, they absolutely gutted about losing him. You know, he was the whole reason they stayed up last season, which tells a lot about that player. and also I back Koeman and Walsh a lot. I know people question a few of their signings, but they can see the whole picture. We can't, we're looking at snippets here and there. I mean, we'd like, they're looking at the whole picture clearly, and they can see what they need to make it work. And so Sigurdsson's clearly a good player who they believe they can make even into a better player.
Yeah, if you look at it in isolation, 50 million is too much for a player, not of his quality, but of his age, because he's not a young player. So we're not signing potential, we're signing him for now. But if you look at it in the wider picture at the moment, Koeman said it the other day, 16 other clubs in the Premier League have spent more money than us this season, yeah, when we look at it net. So if we take it looking at that, you've got to pay it, because we're still not paying, or we're still not net paying as much as other people are. So we've got to do what we need to do to compete, and if that's what Swansea want, that's what we're going to have to pay if we want our man.
The thing is though, if we want a player, you know, we're going to have to pay top money for the top player, simple as that.
Yeah,
otherwise another club's going to come in and just take him away from us, and then we'll probably sit there in 3-6 months time and go, do you know what, we're missing a player like Sigurdsson.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, so it's good to get them sort of players in.
I remember Koeman saying last year he was wanting a team around the 26 years of age sort of mark, really, and I thought, I can understand that, right. It's about this mix of the young ones, which we've got in abundance now as well, let's not forget about them, but he wants players like class and that age sort of thing that can bring some experience to him. I think the money's irrelevant, really. What shocks you anymore? It's nothing. Who's worth a million? And
well, Neymar's gone for 200 million.
It's not our money. For me, if Koeman wants him, that's good enough for me. Yeah. That's it. Whatever the price.
For me, if it improves Everton, we have to pay 50 million. And so be it. That's my attitude. Absolutely. Towards it. Yeah.
But I was really happy that Koeman brought up the fact that we need a winger as well,
yeah,
and a striker, because I think a lot of almost everyone who you speak to on Twitter in general has identified that we need a lot more pace down the wings. Not so much the right, I think, as Lochman and Kenny highlighted yesterday, but down the left we're really short.
He's so publicly declared, hasn't he? Yeah, it's three players
plus Sigurdsson, as I read it. But,
yeah, you know. No one sort of knew whether he was classing Sigurdsson as the winger, because he's not a winger. So it is a query of what exactly he meant by
so
that.
So it brings it on nicely to the next point, really. And there's been a Mark, you put a fan vote on Twitter about this as well. What areas do we need to strengthen in addition to what we've all just been talking about, Sigurdsson there, and obviously that's the creative areas. But the vote went out on Twitter 24 hours ago, and of that vote, 83% said we need a striker, 8% said a centre back, 6% said a left winger, and 3% said other. So it's a resounding striker, to be honest.
Yeah,
it's one on again round the table. That. Yeah,
yeah.
It's
got to be, hasn't it? Because, like I've said, we're signing Sigurdsson for now. What we've done, we've obviously lost one of the best strikers in the world, haven't we? And we've replaced him at the moment with Rooney, who we all agree could do something for us, but undoubtedly is past his best. Sandro could be great, but we hope he will, but we don't know. So we've not replaced Lukaku in any way, shape or form, really, with someone who we know can do the job now. And if we want to compete, you've got to go and spend a big chunk of that 90 million on getting someone who can replace
him. Sorry to interrupt, but Everton have only had one striker for the past 5 years, so why is everyone saying it now? Or has everyone just been saying it but no one's done nothing about it because Lukaku's been so good 3-4 years? Everyone's saying we need a striker. In theory, we've got three.
Well, we don't really know about Sandro yet, as he's saying, really. He's
Sandro, Rooney, and Dominic Calvert-Lewin, is
there? Rooney, yeah, and Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Is he going to get the calls that Lukaku? That's why he's getting these other players in, because he wants the responsibility to be shared.
Yeah.
Sigurdsson's going to get many goals. He's the one who creates them. He doesn't actually get that many himself, does he?
Yeah. And that's why
I know about Sandro.
That's why I was in the 8% of defenders.
Yeah.
Because I voted defenders on that, and I think it's massively important. I mean, Ashley Williams should not be anywhere near that starting 11 for me now. Jagielka's, you know, Mr. Reliable, you know. Yeah.
But who do we get in then, really? We definitely need a defensive cover anyway.
Well, someone mentioned it on Twitter yesterday. I thought it was a great shout. It was Daily Blind, from United, which is the exact position Koeman described, the left centre back, left back cover. And he's filled in brilliantly. I mean, if there's ever a chance of getting him, Danny would be absolutely tailor made.
Because they sent him in the Galloway out on loan, that's a
point. Yeah, and I think it showed why they sent him out on loan in his first sort of 15, 20 minutes.
Was he no good?
No, he absolutely had a nightmare, to be honest, on Friday night. He just showed why he needs a good season on loan.
So it, those positions we've just mentioned, so it's a resounding striker from everyone.
Yeah.
Left sided centre half for me. I want to see left footers, I want to see left wingers, left footed creative players at Everton, to be honest. I don't know whether you see Sigurdsson as a role like potentially Pienaar used to do and cutting in, but there's no natural width to Everton, is there? Apart from Bolasie.
Who knows when he's going to come back, but there hasn't been any width for a good number of years, to be fair.
That's what I mean. There's not been strength in depth in terms of wide players. Why is that with Everton?
No, and you see it every week, don't you? Baines gets the ball, gets to the halfway line, and then his hands are on his hips, as if to say, every single week, there is nothing in front of me. And I feel as if maybe Koeman has noticed, I don't know, he has said he wants a winger, hasn't he? For 3 years under Martinez, he never seemed to.
Maybe that's what Sigurdsson is, so that'll be on that side really, with Baines generally. And
he sees Morales and Bolasie as the right hand options.
Yeah.
But then you've got Loughman and Kenny as well, so the right hand is looking really strong. Yeah. And there's nothing on the left, there's an imbalance. A clear imbalance there.
You have to remember talking about getting major statements and major players that you said, but there's also a lot of young lads there, and you don't know whether, you know, they've all had experience of the Premiership last year, whether they'll step up this year, we don't know really.
Absolutely,
you know, we don't know whether they're going to come to the front. Certainly that John Joe Kenny looked quite impressive and his attacking desires down the right hand side, and I'm hoping that he's given an opportunity this year as well. Certainly with the UEFA thing, there'll be opportunities for these games, won't there, for the squad to come into fruition, really.
So, in terms of personnel and like names, again, this was another fan vote that you've done. We've spoke about strikers. We'll go around and ask everyone if there's a particular striker on everyone's lips. But on the fan vote, it was 64% Olivier Giroud, 16% Danny Welbeck, which is a rumour that's come about in the past 24 to 48 hours, and Christian Benteke was 13%. Other, please state, was 7%.
Yeah.
You had a few replies about that, but there was a lot of people talking about Olivier Giroud. That rumour won't go away.
It seems today he's declared that he wants to fight for his place at Arsenal, if you read reports correctly. So it's like, kind of leaves us with, I don't know, there should be a lot more options to us available. I don't want Benteke, to be honest with you.
See, I would.
I would have Welbeck as well. See, a fit Welbeck. You've got the pace and the power.
Well, that's the thing. No, you're saying a fit Welbeck.
Yeah, exactly.
When is he fit for the whole season?
I know.
Whereas Christian Benteke, one, he's fantastic in the air.
Yeah.
Two, he's half decent with his feet. And three, he's a big unit and he's a target man to bring our midfielders, the likes of Klaassen, the likes of Rooney, into play. So, for me, I think I'd go for
Benteke. That seems to have died, doesn't it? And Giroud is still going strong, isn't it? And he's been treated shabbily by Arsenal. He was a sub again yesterday, wasn't it? So maybe, I'd like to see him there, because every time he comes on for Arsenal, he's used to playing football as well. He scores, he's a threat.
Yeah.
But if he's on a permanent position at Everton, who knows, if he's playing up front all the time. I think it would be a major signing if we could get him.
Yeah. Some other names, sorry Sean, is Edin Dzeko. He was on loan at Roma. Dembele from Celtic, and also Wilfred Bonny.
No, you're
going back a bit there, aren't you? To sign him. So
Bonny showed nothing, has he, the last two seasons?
So Giroud's got all the experience, hasn't he? You'd be great for Sandro, great for Rooney.
It'd
absolutely be the major signing if we could get them. And it's still running, but we're not sure.
Well, he's different to Rooney and Sandro. That's the thing. There's no point buying another one of them. Another up and coming one, another experience. But he is the player that can do it now.
Yeah,
and to be fair, he's never really held down a place at Arsenal. He's been in and out the team, but when he's played, he scores goals, and that's not a bad habit for a striker.
He seems to have a great attitude, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Despite being treated badly.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on as a sub.
You're absolutely right. We do need that target man, because I remember for years watching Mo Johnston, Beardsley, and Cotty, and there wasn't a 5'5" guy amongst them.
Yeah.
Just brings an option, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's an option.
And if you look at that strike force, then if you had Giroud, Calvert-Lewin, Rooney, Sandro, you've got a depth of different qualities, haven't you? So
Ademola
Lookman as well.
Oh, where's he going to go? You don't know, do you?
No. A couple of other mentions, just because we're on it, was Bastost and also Anthony Martial, but I don't think you're going to prize him away from United, especially on it. No. No. I don't really know much about Bastost, but maybe we should go in for that Mbappe.
Yeah, no one else is.
After the initial signings, like, everyone's excited, they've been class signings, but there's been a bit of a lull. I'm thinking, oh, get this Sigurdsson over the line, and who else are we going to get? Let's get a couple more in, because it'll be a tough season with so many games being played. We'll bring the young ones in, but we need experience.
Absolutely.
Who brings that?
So moving swiftly on, the next item is what formation and team would you start against Stoke? I'm not going to expect you to name the full 11, everyone, but what are you looking at there in terms of how, judging on pre-season, judging at the personnel we've got up to now, even if Sigurdsson signed before the weekend, he's not going to play against Stoke, is he? So how would you go? He's experimented with the three at the back, where he had Tom Davis right wing back, and he had Leighton Baines. Didn't really work, did it? Let's be honest. Pack that midfield, because we can pack that midfield, add Mo Bezos to the mix, and we've got about 10 lads that can play there.
Yeah.
What do you see happening against Stoke?
I don't think you're going to be far off the team that starts. I think in Sevilla.
Yeah.
I don't think you're not a million miles away there. It's obviously depending on what players can come in. As you say there, Mark Sigurdsson, you know, if he does sign in the next few days, won't be fit to play. He's going to need another few training sessions under his belt before he's even looking at getting into the starting 11. Jed mentioned it before. I think John Joe Kenny's in with a massive shout to start. You know, he came on against Sevilla, and I thought he'd done really well. You know, he's up against really world class players there.
Coleman, isn't he?
He is, yeah. And, you know, he's got a good engine on him, and I think it was Lookman on the right hand side. You know, the pair of them, I thought they linked up really well. Mm. So I think he's in with a massive shout, to be honest with you. Mm.
Absolutely. Mm. I think I'd love to see just the one holding midfield player, because I don't think Schneiderlin and Gay work together.
Yeah,
well,
that's exactly what I was going
to
say.
Sorry, mate, the other day Schneiderlin had a stinker, if you ask me, away at Rosenborg, but Gay had to do most of the work, and too much of Gay on the ball, and he starts giving it away a lot. Doesn't keep it simple, so I think just the one holding and more energy around him with class, and then Tom Davis maybe back in his favourite role, you know, who's been great, I think, the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But I'd love to see, just for once, I mean, God knows how many times we've started with two defensive mids at home, I'd love to see a bit of boldness for once, and just start with maybe Schneiderlin. I could see Gay doing that, coming off the bench, or, you know, playing bit parts all season. I know he's a key player.
Yeah.
For me, the first names on that team sheet against Stoke is Pickford, Keane, Tom Davis and Sandro.
Yeah.
And you fit the rest around it. I'm not going to say we need to do this and have this formation, but they're the names for me that I want to see starting.
No, when Koeman mentioned he wanted a left-sided centre-half or left-sided defensive player, makes you think, is he going to play with three centre-halves and go with the two wing-backs? You know what I mean? Play the likes of Jagielka, Keane and Williams, or take one of them out and replace him with a new sign.
So
he's experimenting, isn't he? And you know, we obviously identified that as one of our weaknesses. So makes you think, is he going to go with the three centre halves?
I think he might have. We've seen him toy with it a couple of times, haven't we? But I'm never sure whether the actual playing personnel have really taken to it. They've been falling over each other a little bit, and it just worries me that none of them have ever really played that way. We've not had a run of games where we've been able to do it, because the results haven't enabled us to do it. And to me, I think he'd like to do it, but I just question whether in the past it's looked as if it's going to work, and whether by doing that you're affecting too much in front of you as well, and upsetting the whole balance of the team. But I mean, on paper it looks as if it should, but it's different on the pitch.
Is Leighton Baines good enough to be a wing back anymore?
I think he's probably too old, isn't he, to do that.
Baines is on the way down.
Yeah.
Absolutely on the way down. He's a great player. He's been serving 10 years, I think it is today, isn't it?
Today,
he's signed for the club. Fantastic, but you know, we can't be going on sentimental all the time. He's clearly lost a yard or two apiece, which is, he's not getting past players anymore. That's just one of them. I think what it's quite clear is that Koeman's got a complete lack of faith in his defence at the moment. Keane aside, Pickford, the other centre-back options he's not too impressed with.
Yeah, and perhaps that's why he's persisted in playing the two hole midfielders against, well, everyone, basically, hasn't he?
Extra protection.
Yeah, but I agree with you, Mark. I would love to see, not in every game, because I do think, actually, for the most part, Gueye and Schneiderlin do work well together.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice against, you know, Stoke at home, not to see those two line up together, and just, as you say, to see the one. You know, if we're away at, you know, Stamford Bridge, laugh and play yeah. the two holding midfielders, absolutely, we're going to need that. But when you're at home against Stoke or Burnley or West Brom, yeah. that's just the last thing you want to see, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I don't want to see Berahino running at Ashley Williams then. That just scares the shit out of me.
To be honest, Ashley Williams starts walking out at Anfield, I'm not even going to bother watching that.
do you think you want to see
Morales
starting first
team on the team? No one said I want to see your concept. I just can't come to terms with that. For me, I Schneiderlin and Guy, I think, are crucial to Everton, really. I love them. I think he's a Rolls Royce in the way, Schneiderlin, when he came. I think that raised the bar completely, and that guy, his engine on him, I like Everton with those two in. Everything else fits in for me around them too, but while you've got those two players in, and the way he's taken over from Gareth Barry with his touch and his availability all the time, Schneiderlin, and Guy as well with his engine and closing games down. I think those two that I...
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I want to see all the time, to be honest. I think they're quality players.
I agree with you.
I don't know about any other formation. I think it's going to be Sandro and Rooney, as they're going to be up front. I don't know whether Morales will get a game, Tom Davis. I don't help it, really. Not sure what tide will turn up on Saturday and what formation. But what it does do with the players that he's got, the blend of the experienced and young, is just give him options. So you'd be second guessing all the time what team's going to be there on Saturday against that opposition. But I know the bench will be strong as well. And if you've got young lads on the bench as well, when they're coming on 20 minutes from the end when defences are tired, and I'm looking forward to seeing the likes of Calvert-Lewin and Luckman taking on teams, yeah, hopefully at Goodison. And we carry on the record we had last year as well, because it was brilliant.
Good on record, yeah. And it brings it on nicely to the next point, and the fact that we've got loads of games, so we're going to be using these younger lads, or maybe these fringe players, as we call them.
Yeah.
Just on the Europa League, with the draws made the other day, playing Hajduk Split of Croatia. I've done well saying that, didn't I?
Hajduk.
You struggled with Rosenbach before.
And no one's passed that test.
And we're playing them at home first, but if you look at that run of fixtures, you've probably all seen the fixtures of Stoke, then Chelsea, Monday night, Hajduk going away, and then coming back, the Chelsea game has been pushed, Man City. Before Chelsea, isn't it? That's been pushed to the Sunday. And then I looked beyond that, thought, right, September will be a bit
easier, and you've got Spurs and United within a few.
Yeah, but that's it though, Mark. I think we have to change the mindset now, and that's what Koeman's done since he's come in. That's why I'm so excited with him as a manager. We have to change being Evertonians of the past and moan and thinking we can't do this or even for the top four. We have to think, take it on now, take anybody on. Why can't we play City and beat them with theirs, and why can't we go to Chelsea? You've got to change the mindset or try to get a draw. Why don't we go for it now? We've got the players in. He's changed all our attitude, excited us for the first time in years, I think, in the pre-season, all the players that they've got in. It can nothing be positive. So if we do get beat by them, but at least we'll know right from the start. But what if we do beat them? What if we draw against them when we come away from that one and the next month? What will that do to the team and the confidence? But it won't crush it anyway. There's young players in there, there's new players, experienced players. We just got to deal with it. I think it's good that we're playing them, to be honest, rather than playing the likes of West Brom and that at the start. We'll know where we are pretty quick. By Christmas we'll know where we are when we're playing these teams.
It's not like you're having a kit on and going out
there. They're going to be sorry they even crossed us.
It's right though, isn't it though? You are. It's
change the mindset,
that mentality, isn't it, of what a bad start to the season. We've got to play them all anyway. Let's just get on with it, kind of thing.
Do it now.
Whilst we're optimistic.
We're prepared because we've had already games, competitive games. So you shouldn't be worn out. We should be up and ready for it on Saturday and go on from
there. Give me the captain's armband.
Yeah. I just think, you know, with the players that we've got, remember when they got Pickford, remember when they got Keane and Sandro and how we all felt. It's gone a little bit of a lull, and we want Sigurdsson in, and we might still get more. But Saturday, we start. And then let's take on Chelsea, let's take on Manchester City, let's see on anyone. Hajduk Split is a tough game. First game it's at Goodison, typical Everton. It can't be. We
play the second game.
Not like them clowns.
We won't mention them, you know, all of that. But that's what we're about now. We have to change it, but let's go for it. We've got the quality now, you know.
Is anyone going to try and follow that?
All I'd say on the Europa League is, you know, that's where we all wanted to go. That first initial step of making it into Europe is to get into the Europa League, and that's what we've done. So we can't really sit here, in my opinion, and moan.
No.
You know, we've got all these fixtures to compete with. That's what we want as Evertonians. Yeah. We want to go and travel through
Europe.
Absolutely.
How many games United had last season?
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, my opinion, I'm made up having a back in Europe.
We've got for the Champions League, so that'll be the same when we go there. But that's the idea of having a squad and the quality of players. We need to raise it now all the time.
Yeah.
We're not happy to be fourth or fifth or sixth. Can we finish in the top 10? We should be looking to try and be the champions in the future.
There's no point taking part if you're going to be the champions.
Top four is not good enough. Yeah. We want to win the league again.
We've got to look at those first few games as not as something to be intimidated by, but as the most fantastic opportunity. Because if you've got a set of good results in them first five games, every game after that becomes just a bit of a gimme, really. It's that sort of Leicester phenomenon, isn't it? It's just you get on that little
Leicester
bit of a run, and anything can happen after that. You know, we saw, you know, I don't want to talk about Liverpool, but we saw Liverpool do it a few seasons ago when they probably should have won the league. It's any opportunity to talk about Gerrard slipping, really, isn't it? But they got in that momentum every game. They started off, they were 2-0 up before the opposition were going. If we can get a good few results off at the first start of the season, every game after that, your confidence is sky high. Then you've got all your players in, we know where we're going, and before you know it,
exactly. So you've got the momentum behind them. Results right behind it. Absolutely.
We're going to win a lot, aren't we, according to everyone
here?
Looks like you're going to start taking bets on Christmas Day.
What's the point of getting the season ticket and starting if you can't be enthused about it and you don't aim for the stars? Reach for the stars. We want everything. We've got a manager, we've got a chairman. Look what we've done in the last 12 months. You know, sends a shiver down your spine thinking about it, really. You know, that's what I want for my son, for every Evertonian, really. You know, that we go on and we actually win something, and then that's the next step, and then we win something else. You know, it should start here. Since those signings, it should start from here. The likes of Pickford and Keane and Sandro, it starts from here now. A different Everton.
Brilliant.
I just feel like ending it there because I've seen the next point on the agenda.
Yeah,
but you know, we're talking about
the real things that are going on at Everton. And the next agenda point is Ross Barkley's situation. Just, you know, general overview from everyone about it.
Well, I'm completely indifferent to it now. I'll really have no emotion to it, whether he stays or goes now. It's dragged on for far too long. Seems like he's took some bad advice. He's leaving the party before it's even got started. He's left, he sort of wants to leave Everton at the most prominent time in his career for Everton. I don't get it. It's clear he doesn't get on with Koeman that well. Maybe I'm guessing, but I couldn't care less if he stayed or went. No, I don't see Koeman as him in his plans anyway. It's ironic, really, because you're watching these games and you think, of good Ross Barkley, we could have done with, you know. But he sat right there in the stands. I don't know. I just think it's best for everyone that he moves on, and we move on as well.
I've sat here since I was invited on the podcast, and, you know, two marks know my feelings on Barkley, and I'm sure a lot of people on Twitter know my feelings on him as well. And for me, he's not a winner. He doesn't want to compete. Technically, yeah, he's very good, but anything beyond that, he's found wanting all the time, in my opinion. You know, I've never been shy of saying I think Everton should sell him and get the money that they can for them and reinvest it into the squad. The only thing that I would say is with the European competition now, we're sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place, I think, because with all the games coming thick and fast, like we've just spoken about, probably to have someone like a Ross Barkley on the bench as a squad player might benefit us in the long run.
Yeah.
But also saying that, is he going to bring any additional quality to that, what we've already got, you know what I mean? So it's a bit of a tough one with Ross. I mean, in my opinion, yeah, sell him. But if you're going to sell him as soon as you can, so you've got that time to reinvest the money back into the team.
Yeah, we are missing that.
I think his
master pace.
Since his master stopped cutting his hair, all gone down.
I think Koeman knew about it last year, didn't he, towards the end of the season. So he's trying to get the players in, and you're forgotten about it. I've seen Ball when I was a kid going, and he was my hero, and then the likes of Lineker going as well, and Rooney as well. If he goes, he goes. It'd be a shame, because I agree with you. It'd be an option. I like the options now with this, the competitions we're in this year. We need more players all the time, so you wouldn't really like him to go. I'd like him to stay, but he's going. But for me, it's Koeman now. He's the manager, he's in charge, quite clearly. If you want to go off your pot then, and we move on, and that's it as a club. We just need him out of the place now, because he's just a bit of a distraction. But I think he's chosen the wrong time to go as well.
I think it's quite ironic. I mean, I'll try and word this as best I can, but when Rooney left, local lad, we all wanted him to do well, because we all, especially a few of us around here, we're same ages, and local lad doing well for the Boyo club. We sold him because Everton needed to sell him. Ultimately, we needed the money. Rooney's gone on to do great things. Ironically, 10, 11, 12, whatever, however many years later it is, we've now got another homegrown talent coming through. Ross Barkley talked up to be something great. We don't need the money to sell him. And he could be part of a new dawn and a new chapter. As you said, quite rightly, he's leaving the party before it's even got started. Which usually happens with me, because he tells me to go home. He's just going to get off, and it's due to, I don't know, it's an attitude thing, a mentality thing. I've heard all sorts of different rumours, but I agree with my dad when he says I want him to stay. I'm a fan of him. I was a fan of Lukaku as well, and I wanted them both to stay, but ultimately it's 2017, times are different. I sound like a broken record, but they are just another number. Everton in a different place. If his head's not with Everton, it needs to be elsewhere, because we're moving on, and
what we've got at the helm is a manager who is a winner. He is a born winner. You know, he's only played for Barcelona for the amount of years that he's played, and you're not a winner. So to have a winner at the helm, and as I said before, Ross isn't a winner for me, and I think that's why Koeman and him probably clash a little bit, because Koeman wants to win it so bad. He wants to get that 3 points, or he wants to get through to the next round, and Barkley just goes through the motions, and I don't think that obviously it fits in with Koeman's style of management or play.
There's a clash of personalities there then, isn't there?
There's a clash of the fan base as well, isn't there? I mean, he's polarised opinion pretty much more than anybody else, I think. But I think the one thing that everyone's united on is everyone was desperate for him to be brilliant, and it's not happened. I mean, it's a bit of an enigma for me, because theoretically he's brilliant, but practically he's not. And I'm not sure how the two sort of marry together, but to me I always think he's got the ability, but he doesn't know how to use it. He almost needs the game to like have a little time out, stand there, weigh up his options, and then decide what to do. And unfortunately the Premier League just didn't give you the time to do that. So for me, cash in now and use the money to reinvest in someone else.
Player, isn't he? You've watched him at Goodison last year and thinking, a simple pass and it's delayed and he could have done it and he gets intercepted. And he was allowed, Martinez was allowing him to do that, but Koeman won't really, you know.
No.
Again, it's just Koeman, really. You've got to go with him. It's the manager, the first time we've had a manager like this for a long, long time. And if we can keep him here for a long time, then Barkley.
Yeah.
Has to go in the end. He's just clouding the situation at the moment.
It's a mad one as well, because I look at Barkley like I look at a centre forward. Sometimes if you don't have to think about something, you do it instantly, and it comes off.
Yeah.
But if the kid's got to stand there and think about what he's got to do next, he struggles to do it.
Yeah.
Do you know?
He's got all the talent but no football brain to go with it, isn't it? You know, it's just if he plays on instinct, then he's a great player. You know, like the goal against City where he just whips in the top corner, the ball just came to him. You know, so many times last year he broke forward playing behind Lukaku and picked the wrong pass time after time.
Yeah,
the classic personalities, Koeman's one.
Yeah,
that's the most important thing, isn't it, really? So everybody keeps quiet. Yeah, you're going off, you go. Like, you know, it could have gone on for a long time. Hopefully someone will pick him up.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't pick him up, he'll be there, won't he? Whether he'll be on the bench or something like that, but there won't be very many opportunities he'll get to play.
If he does go, how much realistically does he go for?
I don't think we're going to get anywhere near the 50 million they're asking.
No.
I think it'll probably be about late 29, 30 million, maybe, I'm guessing. I don't think he's worth 50 million.
No.
I really don't. Yeah. He's a good player. I'm actually amazed he wants to go. I thought Rooney signing would have invigorated him more than absolutely anybody else, but it seems that way. But I think maybe 30 mid. But even that's stretching it.
I think we'll sulk. I think he's got a year left on his contract. Yeah. So, you know, you are looking at, in my opinion, probably between 15 and 20 million if you're going to sell him now. Because
you
he's
think
got.
Of Sigurdsson, though, his age and what he's going for, Barkley's a better player, could be a better player. You know, the likes of someone like Tottenham could get him and be a steal if you could get him for that amount of.
Potentially, money. But it's a could be again, though. And a lot of people have said, you know, he's got potential. I think, what is he, 24?
Well, into Gerson,
he's 24.
And now we're not waiting anymore. No, that's all about an experience.
And I think he's out with the potential of him with the proven. Yeah. That would take Sigurdsson for Barkley.
I've said for a couple of years that potentially Barkley's career perhaps ended the day Martinez answered Ronaldo or Messi with Ross Barkley. And I think that gave him free rein to think, I'm a brilliant player, I can do what I want. And I think when Koeman's come in, as we've said, and actually managed him, I think he's liked it. Because he's been buttered up by Martinez, but
that's did him no favours.
No favours at
all. The absolute
reality non-stop
blowing smoke up his ass was not beneficial.
Not
to Ross Barkley.
So lads, the last bullet point on there before we get to any other business, I'm going to pop back until the end of the podcast, if that's all right. Expectations for the season, because we're moving positively and negatively up and down, like all sorts of things. So I wanna...
Sounds like Everton season.
Yeah, yeah. Just any old conversation with Everton.
I think right now, with the squad that we have, the expectations are that we sort of maybe.
No. Put this to the end, Mark.
What? Oh, you put it to the end?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so bad.
I'm doing you a favour, mate. I'm doing you a favour.
Do you know what? It's not often I get a real bad answer in my
head. No, I was just going to. Sorry, mate. That's my fault. I didn't explain it right, but I was just going to jump to them ones there.
Fair dues.
And then go back to that at the end.
He's only had 2 pints as well.
2 pints, yeah. No tea, though.
Oh, no.
No. Commitment.
That's how dedicated he is.
Yeah.
He's wasting away,
not quite.
In terms of any other business, lads, we just put down, like, generally what we observed the past couple of days or weeks for the news. And one of the things, talking about like what you said, Sean, about the divide over Ross Barkley and in the fan base and Lukaku, let's be honest, I mean, Evertonians will fight about anything, won't they? There's a lack of atmosphere at Goodison, which was shown against Rosenborough, which was Rooney's return and build to be this, that and the other, and it never happened, did it, let's be honest. I know certain parts of the ground are and getting upgraded and whatnot. Record season ticket sales. It's hard to get a ticket these days for Everton, let's be honest. You know, it's a sellout. That was last season, it was under Martinez as well. But with the newfound optimism off the pitch, signing players and stuff, it's only going to increase. Anyway, I'm waffling. There's a lack of atmosphere at Everton. The question's being posed to other Evertonians and other football fans on how you improve that atmosphere. Firstly, what's everyone's impressions on Goodison atmosphere? And secondly, how could you potentially look at improving it?
I think it's obvious that Goodison need to kick up the arse. But for me, an obvious answer would be, when we went to Lille, I was so impressed by their stadium.
The 80,000 Evertonians that went over there.
Yeah, the 10,000 Evertonians. But not just that, they had a designated sort of singing end behind each goal. I think it's certainly behind sort of their Gladys Street goal, if you like. You need that, I think. A designated, I know some people would be against it, but I wouldn't be. It's a constant source of atmosphere, and then you can only hope that others join in, you know. But that, a designated singing end with nutcases, drums behind the goal.
Does that not tie up?
You're buying Munich on it.
I'd be awful.
See, something would certainly improve atmosphere. People don't. It's natural to shout more, sing more when you stood than when you sat. That's just, you know. Yeah. I think that's just general.
I think you could play every game a night match and then it would be brilliant to put us in the atmosphere there. But I think it's down to the team, to be honest. If some of the games have been great atmosphere last year, playing some of the top sides and that, but if you're not playing that well, then the crowd do go quiet. I think it's down to the team to put the foot in,
but I've seen
get
much
a bit angry, get a bit passionate and get the crowd going.
Well, you need that sense of injustice, as always with Everton. You need a bad decision off the ref to get us going. We thrive off that.
Well, you need Danny people seen in there as well, and Rooney can provide that as well, because he's in the referee's face already. He'll put his foot in, and hopefully he will motivate other players to put the foot in. Yeah. That gets the crowd up. We want to see passion. We don't see it that much, but if you see passion on the pitch, you're raised, your level of expectation is raised, you become a bit more passionate. It's like the night matches, as something happens at Goodison there, but we did have some great games with Everton last year. The Manchester City thing there, you know, it was just young people getting an opportunity there and we just cleared them off the park.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes there's an instance in the game, but if we raise the level of expectation and put our foot in from the start, then we can get the crowd going every time, I think.
I think we need stronger ale in the stands. Get everyone tanked up before the game on a Saturday. I know they go to Black Horse and that, but bring it to the stands.
It tasted horrible, but it was strongish, and it could. Now, Carlin. I mean, you need four Carlin just to feel like you've had a pint.
Well, it's not the greatest percentage wise, but I don't know. Maybe, you know, but I've seen worse teams and better atmospheres in the past. I'm not sure the character of people is the same as it was back then. You know, different people are coming to the match.
I said last week about the singing section. The singing section's on the Gladys Street concourse with the police at half time, and everyone's swinging a fire exit sign. It is though, isn't it? Ultimately, if there's a big game or everyone's up for it, you have a laugh down there. We stand in the corner and you watch it, don't you, or you're part of it. You go back to your seat, a lot of people are just a bit like, you know, playing on the phones. Some people look at you if you're singing as if to say, why are you standing up, mate? What are you singing for?
I think that's where the fans need to take some responsibility, though. You know, and it's all well and good saying, the players need to make a tackle, but at the same time, you know, there's more of us than there is players, so it's up to us to make that atmosphere.
That mentality thing, then, going there to Goodison, we're going to watch Everton, it's instilled into us that we'll probably go a goal behind, or we'll probably, it'll take a snide tackle or a red card for us to get going. Should we not just be going there like we're going to beat Stoke 3-0? But all again, up for it, it's raging. The place is raging.
Again, that's changing the mindset, isn't it? Raising expectations.
That's something
that we can foresee, because we're all here excited about the start of the season. But 2 months in, it's that level of expectation, what if we're not, though? What if we're up near the top? Everyone's going to that match. Already the season tickets were sold out last year, most of the games, weren't they? You can't get a ticket for love nor money now, sort of thing. So everyone's bought into that, haven't they, really? They've bought into Koeman. They've bought in even more to the signings. Let's see what is in the next month or two. You know, we've got to change. All us sitting here, we're talking from experience in the past. me more than anybody really, but I feel like I need to get rid of that cloud, that cobwebs out of me brain now, and think of this as a new Everton with a new manager, a new chairman with new attitudes and new expectations. So we may all have to change our mindset in the next month.
We need to get some of these quotes on the board.
Absolutely. I don't need any ale to watch Everton. I just love to be there. It's enough when Zed Cars goes and it goes down my spine. That's when I know I'm home. Yeah,
absolutely.
One thing that would make a little bit of difference for me, again, not to put too much on the players though, is I'd just like to see us start a game fast, and it's probably not the right time for me to say this because we scored after 30 seconds the other day, but you know,
faster 25.
Generally speaking, it takes us a while to get going, and it has done for a couple of seasons. You know, most games, even at Goodison, it's 0-0 at half time. You know, we're not making mistakes, but we're not creating anything. And if we could just start a game and in the first even 10 minutes have a couple of chances, I think that's what's going to get the fans up. But when you're 25 minutes in and you sat there and you just think, do you know what, there hasn't been a shot in this game yet. I think that's what brings everyone
it's
down
like
a bit.
You're announcing yourself in a game though, isn't it?
Yeah, we just need to get out there and just impose ourselves on the game. And maybe we've been missing a couple of sort of talisman players, as Jed said earlier on. You know, previously we've had our Duncan Ferguson, we've had our Tim Cahill's. We've not had a player like that in a little while who sort of dragged people through. And I'm hoping that a couple of the ones that we've signed, potentially your likes of your Rooney's and even your Klassen's, who looks like a busy little player who's going to really buy into Everton. Maybe that's going to make a little bit of difference. Someone who's got a really good engine buzzing about everywhere.
So maybe we should sign Diego Costa then.
I'll take that.
Yeah, He wasn't on our striker.
Sure. We were quite strong last year though in the second half of the match, weren't we? You know, coming towards the Goddard Street sort of thing, and that was down to the fitness as well, I thought. But hopefully the fitness level will go to another level now that he's had a lot longer with them, and I've seen that. I was trying to say that at the beginning, they seem to be more of a team, there seem to be more options, you know, like the City you were talking about before, where there's little angles, 1-2s. There seems to be more options with Everton that I've noticed. Just the one thing that I've seen stand out, never mind the way some of them playing with authority and confidence, but there are more options. Classroom is definitely going to give us more options all over the pitch, really. A very busy player.
So just we're speaking about new players there and talisman. Another one for the any other business really was Jagielka's new contract. You could even talk about Morales' new contract, to be honest. And Leighton Baines' 10 years service. In fact, it was Jagielka 10 years service as well this week or something. But it was Baines' today. Just general thoughts on that. To be honest, a lot of people were surprised by Jagielka's new contract.
No, I think they're sensible signings. Them, I think Baines has to stay and Jagielka, especially for this season. I think really, you know, you can call on both of them. I think, and they'll bring invaluable experience to the team. I think.
Lads.
Yeah, I can only echo that. Jagielka's probably when it first got announced, I was a little bit shocked, but now I've sort of sat down and digested a little bit, and I think obviously with the European competition, he's probably a decent backup, if not a first team starter.
That's how I see
Heather
him.
Williams. So yeah.
I'd like to see him as cover no longer for the big games. Our go-to centre back. You know, I'd love to see him back because he frank. You know, we need pace back there, and we get exposed every time against top teams. So Jagielka would be good for stuff like League Cup and meaningless Europa League games. If we get to,
I'd probably do him a disservice. He's been given a 3-year contract. I'm not. I was surprised by that, but now for the next year or two, why not? He won't be a regular starter, but he's someone who'll bring experience. We all need that.
I just don't know what Morales is.
No one.
I look at him and
is
I go,
he a human?
Is he an attacking midfield player? Is he a winger? Is he a number 10? Is he a striker? He doesn't fit any of them for me. I don't know what he thinks.
Quite well. From the games I've seen, he hasn't been too bad.
His penalty does not deserve to go in. I struggle to find a position for for Morales.
Yeah, Martin, as you were going to say then.
This is his last opportunity anyway, isn't he? Really, he's coming towards the end of his career, I would imagine. But We'd have to see. He's not going to get a regular game, but he seems to have been happy with signing the contract.
Absolutely.
I think Bainesy's an absolute cracking signing from, you know, 2007. I think we signed him for $5 million from Wigan.
And, yeah,
you know, to get 10 years out of him at that very top level, you know, England's international, scored 36 goals, 36 I want to say.
Goals. Yeah. 36.
So,
you know, he might still go in this year with a couple more.
Yeah, he's ill weighed in this season, no doubt. And, you know, for any footballer, the last 10 years at the top is.
He's going to be playing with better players. He's going to be. If his Sigurdsson's on the other side of it, it might be the start of the last part of his career. Baines, do you know what I mean? There's someone there, other than Pienaar, that he's had there.
You remember
watching those?
Remember that relationship with Pienaar? Yeah, that was wonderful. I was watching it.
Yeah. Fell apart
the
dream.
The Gladys in the second half of games, you just sat there and watched those two tip tap around everybody and putting crosses over. Yeah. Baines has been an absolute legend. I think he's a great bloke, and hopefully he will stay at Goodison as well, really, to the end of his career. But I'd like to see him stay at Goodison to do something else there.
Says a lot about his character.
Gareth Barry,
those players. You need players like that now in Goodison. That's what we're about, Everton. Quality players.
He's been a model professional, hasn't he, throughout his time. The one good thing that I've, just like that, I'll put myself in actually. The one good thing about Baines is that he's been reliable that whole time as well. You know, he's never been injury prone. And he's needed to be present, because we've never had backup for him in 10 years. But he's always been consistent. He's always done a good job. He's never been found wanting defensively. He's probably not the best defender in the world, but he's always done that job of going forward and defending.
When United were involved there as well, he never came out and said anything, did he? Just kept his head down and then stayed at Goodison all the time. So that's the sort of player that, you know, that you want in your side, really, quality, I think.
He's seen players off, though. Don't forget, Garbutt was billed as the next big thing, and he's living a life of living the dream, by the sounds of it. Oviedo got sold, Galloway's out on loan. Who else? You know, Mori was in there at one point, but he's a centre half, naturally.
But the new players, you might see Leighton Baines come again, I think, you know, with other players in there, giving them out angles and options and freedom to get up there.
As you say, Baines, he could have went to United.
Easy.
You know, and he chose to stay in Everton, so that tells you the character and the mentality.
Absolutely.
So what about some of the younger lads, just moving on? Kieran Dalvin on loan to Forest, apparently had an absolute blinder on his debut. Matty Pennington, Joe Williams, is it?
Joe Williams, Tyus
Brown and Galloway went out, and Henry Onyekuru, who we signed and then loaned them out immediately to Anderlecht. But there's investment in the youth. Not only are these lads like Brendan Galloway, we signed the other year, Browning, Pennington and Williams, to name a couple, and Dal come through the ranks. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, we signed him from Sheffield United. There's investment in the youth, isn't there?
The likes of that Josh Bowler, who's having a good time of it in the under-18s.
You bailed me out there because I forgot some
Josh
of
Bowler, and you've got the lad Boris, what was his name, up front?
Mathis.
We're getting there, but there's so much more. The lad from Newcastle, Lewis Gibson.
$6 million?
No, six. Good God, we spent a whole summer trying to sign Sean Davis, 3.5 for the first team. you want to see Everton Football Club now to then, just compare that situation.
But we're doing what Chelsea and City's
doing. Yeah, stockpiling and all
this talent, but we won't win it with them. You know, that's why we need the experience. That's why Coleman's mentioned that we want people at 26, 27 years of age now for the Premiership, and hopefully they will come through. There's no guarantee that they will,
but I think
like them spending that much money to just go in the under-23s, that's got to be a great thing for us.
It makes you think as well, you know, I think there's a quota of English players that you've got to have within your squad.
Yeah.
And if you notice, a lot of the players that we are bringing through are predominantly English players, so you know, maybe the sort of factor in that in for the future, you know, potentially to sell them on to, you know, the likes of potentially Chelsea, who don't really have that many English players,
and
command a massive fee for it
because
they're English. Look at Danny Drinkwater now, linked with Chelsea, probably going to go there for 30 million, whatever he's going to go for. So potentially they're thinking business sense, longer term financial plan, and thinking we can sell these on for,
that's the thing now, isn't it? Don't you think that there is a financial plan, especially with the young players that they're getting, and our future with a new stadium, there is a plan, there's a there's a project. He talks about a project all the time.
Yeah, yeah. It's much more than the first
allowance into that.
So in terms of just bringing it to a close, lads, what's your expectations for Everton for the season? Because we spoke about a lot there. Obviously, Europa League involvement, there's domestic cups as well. Realistically, what do you think will happen this season, and what would you like to happen?
I think at the moment the way the squad is, I think Europa League again is to be, you know, to qualify for that again would be, but also really to win a trophy. I think I would take like maybe finishing fifth or sixth and winning the League Cup this season as a sign that we've got to end this trophy drought for once and for all. That is the key, and then that will breed more confidence with the money.
So what about winning Europa League? Do you think that's a realistic thing? We saw like United kind of coast through it last season, didn't we?
I think that might be Koeman's thing about playing a team home and away, whoever had you split. I think playing the team at Goodison like a game of chess and playing them away, I think that would suit them rather than the both cups really, and I think we could go far in that. That could be a real thing. Other than that, I think you'd probably finish, hopefully they'll finish in the top six, and I think the Europa might be one this year,
a chance. Yeah.
That's my thought.
I think Europa League's got to be probably the aim, and it's to have a good run in the Europa League, hopefully go on and win it.
Which brings Champions League football.
Potentially, there's a little bit of a dream, you know, to go and win that. But I think to win a domestic cup, whether it's the League Cup or the FA Cup, is probably high on the agenda for us, I think.
Sean?
I think for me, the first thing to do is to not rule anything out until something tells me not to. I'll always go back to, would Leicester have ever won the league? No, but they did. So why can't we have that aim? If we're not going to have that aim, there's no point taking part. But realistically, to be honest, I'd take 17th on goal difference on a cup, as long as we got a cup of any description. Just as Mark said, to end that drought is got to be the absolute aim, is to get our name in silver and get that winning mentality back into the club, because it's not been there for, well, we all know how long.
Yeah, too long.
But that's what I mean. The question was put to me last week about it. What, you know, winning the Europa League and this and that and finishing 6th or 7th, or winning an FA Cup or a League Cup or potentially both. But for me, I don't really care. As long as Everton win something, I think it stops the rot. It changes the mentality. It breeds success. The whole everything that you goes back to what you said before about changing our ways and having this mentality about winning.
I think atmosphere as well in the Europa
League. Even if it was Nuremberg away, Fiorentina at home, Villa,
be a night match.
I know we were hard done to on occasion, but UEFA Cup, Europa League. United took it seriously last season. Mourinho said, well, you know, asked, we'll win this and that'll get us back to where we want to be.
Yeah.
And if that means Everton need to do that to get us to where we want to be and it elevates us, then so be it. Or if it means finishing 10th but winning the League Cup, if that eventually gets us to where we want to be, then so be it.
Absolutely.
I just thought we'd take the domestic cups competition seriously. I think Hajduk split opposite, well, no Europa League games easy.
But they've got an atrocious record against English clubs and
nice one
in football.
No, I have to say it.
They're not great. I think it's 11 defeats out of 12. No.
On that bombshell.
Certain defeat looming.
So there's a lot of games coming up. We'll try and cover as many of them in podcast, and we'll come back again, and hopefully by the time September comes, we'll have a few more new players in the ranks as well. Here's to a good start to the season, lads, and thanks very much for your input.
Cheers, lads.
Nice. Cheers.
See you now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.